Welcome to episode 329 of the Rugby League Republic podcast with your hosts,
Tito
and Tish. In this episode, we review the NRL 2024 Grand Final. Join us as we build a rugby league community for all. The Rugby League Republic podcast starts right now. Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Rugby League Republic podcast, where we aim to bring you the everyday perspective of rugby league, the greatest game of all. My name is Tish, and joining me today is T-Dog. T-Dog, the NRL Grand Final, it's in the books for 2024, the epic day of epic days in rugby league every year, the Grand Final day. How was the experience for you?
Oh, look, it was an epic game. I do feel like it was two of the top teams out there. And, yeah, it was interesting. It was definitely an interesting game. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. And, look, we are the Rugby League Republic. This is this is Rugby League for the people. We've just got to get that out there. Got to get all of our catchphrases out there. But, yeah, look, it's I always love Grand Final Day. There's certain buzz to it as well, you know, watching all the different types of games. And, yeah, we had a record-breaking final. And, yeah, it'd be, it's great to go through. Plus, we've got Pacific champions around the corner. We've got new coaches in the NRL. We've got a Dally M Awards to talk about. Are you ready to get this show on the road?
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. We tackle one, which is the NRL Grand Finals. Here we go. All right, so look, it was the NRL Grand Final day, and this is going to be the recap, not just of the main event, which is the men's NRL Grand Final, but also going through some of the other games that were played over the weekend. So let's start off with the state championship game. So this is the game that is held between the best state championship side in the tier below the NRL for New South Wales, going up against also the Queensland state champions. So basically the final score was the Newtown Jets from New South Wales scoring 18, going up against the North Devils, who ended up scoring 20. So the North Devils bring out the state championship, first Queensland team since 2015 to win that game. So there we go with the state championship final. And then before the straight after that game, we also had the NRLW Grand Final, where we had this, you know, the team that ended up second on the ladder, the Sydney City Roosters, taking on the team that came up fourth but beat the Broncos, who were minor premiers, the Sharks. And it was the Roosters 32 taking out the Sharks 28. And we'll get into the men's grand final in the next tackle. But before we do, let's get your thoughts here on these two games. Starting off the state championships, what were your thoughts, T-Dog?
Oh, I was devastated the Jets didn't get up, mate. I was kicking myself all day. Couldn't believe it. What a tragic ending to such a great season. So, yeah, good on the Devils, mate. They turned up when the state needed them. So, up and up for the Devils from here, I think.
Yeah, there you go. And then, look, that was severely undermatched compared to the Newtown Jets. I think they only had less than 100 games of NRL experience, you know, in their whole team, whereas the Newtown Jets, which is the feeder cup to the Sharks, had over, I think it was 199 games, right? So the Jets definitely had a lot more experience. But then the Devils, you know, it was a hot day. It was in the middle of the day. They were able to just handle the situations better and, you know, a mistake field game, which is what you normally expect in the reserve grade final. But I thought that the Devils thoroughly deserve their win, and you know, it's going to be very interesting how they sort of do that. So, what about the other game, the NRLW game, the Roosters beating the Sharks you know, the Roosters getting out to a commanding lead, but then the Sharks having a good second half to come back, but just, you know, left it too little too late, I think, to catch the Roosters. But I think a really entertaining grand final between these two teams. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I mean, look, yeah, it felt like game over, right? The Roosters with the first five tries in the first half, with a halfback, Taryn Aiken. She's amazing. And did she get the Dally M? I can't recall, but absolutely amazing. No. Didn't, did she? But yeah, definitely. Olivia. Olivia Tourniquet. got the Dally M. But they just played so well. But then, look, Sharks were, you know, not to be written off this season. And they nearly came back and clinched it at the end there. So I think what was also interesting, 40,000-plus fans rocked up. That's impressive for any rugby league game. I mean, any first-grade men's team, say, for example, the Raiders, probably haven't even had that for 15 years, mate. So that's impressive to have that many fans at a game, let alone a grand final. So just unbelievable. Great to see for the young girls growing up in Australia that one day you could be there. One day you could be a champion. You know, my daughter, can tell her she could be a rugby league champion one day. So
she could. She could for the Go Raiders, right?
Yeah, that's right. Go Raiders. Go Raiders. I guess people don't realize that one, but my daughter thinks rugby league is called Go Raiders because whenever we watch, we're watching the Raiders and we yell out Go Raiders. So she's a bigger supporter than me. But yeah, what a team. The Roosters can't take anything away from it. The best team in the comp. They could probably do well against a couple of the men's teams. So, yeah, awesome game. Bold statement there.
that is definitely. But look, you call that crowd figure out now. It is the same venue as the grand final. So it is probably the number of people that count before, you know, that's got into the stadium. But there were a lot of people watching on TV. So I don't look, so I know there are some cynics out there that would say, well, you know, it wasn't really 40,000. But look, I think there was more eyeballs. And, you know, it's just like there's been a bit of controversy with the Gillaroos selections. And that seems to get a lot more playback than what the Kangaroos controversies are. And there's some big controversies in the Kangaroos men's. So that kind of shows to me that the NRLW, people do care about it. And it is certainly growing. And as you said, I think the fans, the young girls who, you know, rugby league was not really considered a sport for them, but it's they're definitely changing that stereotype around, isn't it? And, you know, sometimes the skill, you know, you know, it's different to the men's game where it seems to be just about hard and fast and brute strength. The women's game, there's definitely a lot of strength, a lot of power in there, but there's a lot more sort of technique and finesse and tactics. There's a lot more that goes into it just because the game is developing. So I think, yeah, another great showcase to the grand final. And look, a really close game. In the end, I mean, like, you know, Tiani Panattiani scored for the Sharks with like 2 minutes to go, right? So a bit of a nail biter, but just not enough to win there. But look, I think it was a great, you know, a great showcase and certainly a comeback. I mean, it almost made me think about the Panthers last year, how they were able to come back, you know, like, you know, but probably, you know, that try on the 66th minute by Olivia Koenig to actually, you know, sort of win the game a little bit for the Roosters just made it a little too hard. But yeah, what a great grand final, and what a great lead up to the main event, which you're about to speak about now with the next tackle.
So one other thing before we move on, as of 2023, the NRLW salary cap was raised to 900, up from 350,000 a season. So that's how quickly it's raised, like it's up and up. So it's just impressive. So many fans now. I'm going to go to one this season. Sorry, next season. I'm going to take the girls there. You're going to be on the sideline.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry. Go on.
No, push. No. Look, no, that's fantastic. Look, you've made a commitment now that you are going to be the NRLW superfan. So go for it. Like, we need as many NRLW superfans as...
You know what? I'm going to go to as many games as I can until you see a picture of me on TV waving a big finger.
Yeah. I want to see the biggest set of binoculars on the NRLW superfan T-Dog out there scouting out new talent. You know, I've actually seen you in the streets of Sydney approach potential NRLW Okay, maybe recruitment.
Move on from that one. Move on from that one.
Well, I have an opportunity for you. Anyway, but okay, let's move on to the big one, the NRL Grand Final. Here we go. Tackle number two, the Storm taking on the Panthers. All right. Did that get your blood pumping?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, the 2024 NRL Grand Final played against the number one team, the Melbourne Storm, taking on the number two team, the Penrith Panthers. And it was the Melbourne Storm 6 losing to the Panthers 14. And that's 3-1. We had Grant, Harry Grant, scoring the first try in the 23rd minute for the Melbourne Storm. And then a hit back from the Panthers with Taruva going over. Then just before halftime, a great try by the Panthers, Martin, which I thought broke the back of the Melbourne Storm, but we'll get into that a bit later on. Then in the second half, there was a try disallowed for the Melbourne Storm before Paul Almonte goes over on the 61st minute. Again, another great try. And that's where we ended. We ended with... 14-6. There was about 20 minutes to go. Like this, there's about 19 minutes to go when Alan Motti scored. But the Panthers were able to hold on. So the attendance was 80,156. So a great crowd. Referee was Ashley Klein, and the Clive Churchill Medal going to Liam Martin. So with that result, that is the fourth consecutive title that the Panthers have won. And then the Panthers have now become the first club since the great St. George Dragons of 1959 to accomplish this record. Of course, St. George winning, I think it was 12 premierships in a row. This is the Panthers' sixth premiership, which lists them equal seventh on the all-time premiership tally alongside the Brisbane Broncos. The Panthers, this is their fifth title in the NRL era and moves them ahead of both the Roosters and the Storm to become the most successful club in the NRL competition era, which began in 1998. So, enough talking from my end. T-Dog, take us through the grand final from your point of view.
Well, I think before we get started, we've got to start off with what happened before the game, right? Down at Circular Quay, they had that event going on. And then Kid Leroy. Let's talk about Kid Leroy, his performance. What are your thoughts on his performance, Tish?
Well, look, I'll be honest, I'm not familiar of young Leroy.
Really?
No, look, to be honest, I thought, is this Justin Bieber, like, from 10 years ago? Like, I did. But, look, I enjoyed the music. I felt like he did sing an In Excess song. At one stage, but I thought it was a great performance. So it was like it felt blockbuster to me. To be honest, it felt like a new era, younger fans. I kind of really enjoyed it. I did feel that it was a bit Coachella X for me. You know, maybe you know a PVLA. Well, I don't know.
Well, I think it was great for the younger guys, right? We and the younger kids out there. We've got to cater to them, you know. We can't just wheel out Barnsley, and you know, like put greats from the 80s out there. It's just it's time to move on. We're gonna grow the game, and whether you or me, enjoyed Kid Leroy versus some of the young fans, I think it was good for the game, to be honest. Yeah, I definitely will be listening to a few more Kid Leroy songs after this. As you mentioned, I'm probably not the biggest fan myself, but after this, I definitely will listen to a song or two, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So did you enjoy it? Like, I thought it was good. I don't know. Was there any criticism? Did you see anything on social media, people making it out?
I heard a few people were saying that it wasn't what they were expecting, but looking at the fans with all the lights that they had in the audience, if you looked at it, if you saw the above scene, it reminded me, because everybody had the little torches, it reminded me when I was in year five, I sung at the Opera House. Little lesson known fact there. Yeah, I actually sang at the Opera House with 500 other kids. But, you know, just saying, you know, I could have been I could have been Kid Leroy. Well, that was good.
They did actually have, they did actually have a former South Sydney player sort of introduce him, because he was a South Sydney fan, right? So right, I think it was Greg Inglis, right? So I really love that montage. But look, on to the game. Or any other things prior to the game you want to talk about, right?
No, I just think the NRL did really well with the pre-game performance, especially the pyrotechnics, the everything, like the light show. I just think it was a really good show. It was very festive. It really got the crowd involved, right? And so, a packed stadium. This just looks like something out of the NFL. That's what I thought. It was that good. I can't wait to see what next year's one's going to look like. So just if you go back and have a look at all the fireworks and everything, it was just amazing. Really good to pump this game up. So, yeah, anyway, that's my thoughts on the pregame. But let's get on to the actual real show.
Yep. All right. Cool. So, what were your thoughts?
Oh, mate. As you mentioned, Harry Grant getting that try. Watching the Panthers. So it was a game of grinding each other down.
Yeah.
And the Panthers really, towards the back end of that half, started to look like the more dominant force for me.
Yep.
And it's for me, I do feel like their forwards started to really make a big impact. Mate, the speed and the intensity of the game was amazing. I've never seen such high quality football. These two teams were truly the greatest teams of this competition this year. I don't think any other team would even get close to their performance in the grand final. In saying that, I do feel like whether it was the Panthers' defense or whether it was the Storm just not saving their best for last, I don't think it was the best I've seen from the Storm all season. So, obviously, missing one of their key forwards probably, hurt them a little bit in terms of the forward packs, because if you look at some of the player ratings, for example, from the Storm, there was, who was it? Kamakamika. He only had a 5.
Boy George's favorite player, by the way.
Yes. to like Kamakamika. Harry Grant, just 9. He had a rating of 9. Harry Grant tried so hard. I really feel for him, even though he's a Queenslander. Really feel for him. I just don't think some of their forwards were up there with the Panthers forwards. So, really, really close game. But then Cleary, just does his thing. Just turns the game. He's just an amazing player. Look, I think what happened when Harry Grant went over for that first try, all of a sudden that kicked the Panthers into top gear, because they thought, well, we've got a game on our hands here, right? And then, yeah, I don't know. How do you beat the Panthers? They're such a good team.
I think that's everybody's got to go back to the drawing board for next year. But on how to beat the Panthers, because yeah, it seems like a very difficult feat. But yeah, no, look, I think these two teams here, they have been the best team of the decade. You probably said the Roosters. You could put them in there as well. I mean, pretty much, it's one of these three teams are going to feature in the grand final. And obviously, you know, for the last 5 years, the Panthers have been in every grand final, and now they've won four in a row, which an absolutely amazing feat, particularly with you've got salary cap pressures and all these type of things, and they just know how to win. And look, I felt like the game. Look, I thought Melbourne had a good shot. Like, you know, early in the game, I felt like they were sort of dominating slightly. They were able to get really good feel. Like they had better meters earned every set, and you didn't really. They were kind of able to neutralize the power game. Then they were able to score with Harry Grant going over. And look, Harry Grant, yeah, he's a workhorse player, but he's also got the ability to create opportunities. So, you know, he probably is one of the best premier players in the competition, just thinking about it like that, right? You know, so I think from that point of view, the game was going well. But then, you know, the Panthers, they hang in there, and they're never – the thing about the Panthers is they're never beaten, right? So they don't have lull periods. They just keep on doing what they're doing. And then in the end, what ended up happening was that, like, they sort of were able to come back, and then you saw that try, as you said, like a great try that they're able to score to bring it back from Taruva right in the corner. You know, a bit of I think it was a Jerome Hughes pass as well that sort of got him over the line. So that, I thought that was great for his last game there. And then look, the game had that grind going again. I think the Storm weren't really able to capitalize on the opportunities before halftime, but then they also had really good defense. But then they cracked right at the end with Liam Martin. I thought that was, for me, the turning point of the game, because instead of going in sort of leading, 6 points to four, they ended up, you know, trailing 10 points to six. And you think, well, that's not a big game. But you could tell that they really wanted to go in there with the lead. They sort of came out. And I think they sort of, they were hanging in right at the start, and they were trying to do well. But then they had the disallowed try by Jack Howarth, which, you know, I'll get your thoughts on whether you thought the ball was down or not. But, you know, it was a real crucial point. But then the Panthers were able to repel and then score again. And then I felt that even though the score is 14-6, it's only an 8-point deficit. I felt like the Storm couldn't do what the Panthers did the year before. Like, there's something about their team, maybe their body language or whatever. I felt like they're either going to try too hard or they're not going to be able to take care of the opportunities. They don't seem to have that confidence in them like the Panthers did last year, where I felt like, you know, if you even go and watch that game again, like, I can't remember how I felt, but I think when the Panthers came back last year, you kind of felt that they can, right? You know, like they sort of had a bit of a confidence about them. Whereas Melbourne, they just didn't seem to have that same sort of swagger, and I don't know what it is. But I think it's a bit of a mental thing where they've got, like, Xavier Coates, he had some really great runs, and he could score tries out of nowhere. Cameron Munster can pull off miracle tries left, right, and center. Harry Grant can do the same thing. Jerome Hughes, Ryan Pepperdine, they've got lethal weapons all over the park. But what, for whatever reason, when you actually need that clutch play, right, to win you the game, to come back, to, you know, arrest the momentum, they weren't able to do it for the last 18 minutes. And that's what they were missing. Meanwhile, the Panthers, I mean, last year it was Cleary. This year it was Alamotti or Liam Martin. They were able to come up with these beautiful plays out of nowhere. And they were great tries. So
Liam Martin. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry to cut you off there. But Liam Martin. No, go for it. Oh, my God. What a player. What a player. And that, yeah. The curls, mate.
Yeah.
You know? Those curls, mate. Oh, my God. Seriously, that guy. I heard them playing Take Me Home Country Road in the crowd. Oh, yeah. What's that relation to?
Okay. No, well, because I think, okay, the Panthers, they're kind of like the from West. From the
foot of the mountain, right?
Foot of the mountain, the West. So they do have Take Me Home Country. Okay, look, I've got to say, Panthers, they have a really good, disc jockey, right? Because, firstly, how intimidating is that AC/DC song when they come out with the bells, right? Right, that is the best theme song, right? And the Tigers have Eye of the Tiger, but I feel like that sends chills when you hear the dong and they come out, right? So that's, they've got that. Then they have Take Me Home Country Road. They also play Sweet Caroline, right? And you heard the crowd singing along with Sweet Caroline. And even somebody I was watching the game with kind of mentioned, well, why do they play that song? Of course the crowd's going to sing it, right?
You know what? Sorry, just going to bring up something there. So the Tigers have Eye of the Tiger, right? I think the problem is most of the Tigers players in their 20s, and they probably haven't watched the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
So they don't understand what that means, that song, right? So
Well, I remember... I don't know if any of the Panthers players were born when AC/DC were playing Hell's Bells, right?
No, I don't think so, but...
Anyway,
this is not about the Tigers. Sorry. Yeah. But look, I'm looking at Harry Grant's face. That guy gave everything. His face is red and blotchy. He got absolutely pummeled, and he just never gave up right up until the end. I have respect.
So he was Melbourne Storm's best for you?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Definitely. 100%. For me. I do feel let down that Solomona wasn't there. I think that would have made a bit of a difference because that guy running will take always two or three players to take him down. He can get a hand away. All of a sudden, Pappenhausen through a hole can open that game up. I think Pappenhausen, we didn't see the best from Paps. He just didn't have any space to run. I definitely felt he was a little bit underprepared. I don't think the Panthers played amazing to win this game, but I also think that we didn't see the best from some of these Storm players.
Yeah.
So
they seem tired. They seem to run out of gas quicker, right? Yeah.
Really out of gas. And I was thinking just before the grand final, these two teams, it's whoever sleeps the best the night before.
Okay.
Right? It's going to be such a draining game. Like the fitness and the energy, the stamina from the Panthers is, they must be superhuman. Seriously, they just kept coming. They're so well drilled. Oh, the try that was set up in the corner, that was just amazing.
Well, before you go on with the try, you know, you're bringing about sleep, and sleep is very important, not just for an NRL athlete, but also for the everyday rugby league fan. And that's why our sponsor today, Koala Mattresses. If you want a good night's sleep, sleep on real Australian koalas made from koala sleep. Now, anyway, sorry.
Sorry,
I'm not a sponsor, and they don't use koalas in their beds. But anyway.
Just confirm that.
Okay. All right, going back to the try in the corner. Try in the corner, and then we'll talk about the disallowed try. How's that?
Sorry, the try that the Panthers, the first try, the way they, the setup, just watching the Panthers as they go through their back line and where the players are positioned versus the defense, what they're thinking, they're like, Storm had one of the best defenses all year, and they still couldn't stop this try in the corner, which looked, you know, at the end of it, it looked like, oh, you should have had somebody there to try and push him out, right? But the way they set it up was just perfect. All respect to Cleary, Ivan Cleary, especially the way he's coaching and the team, the support staff. You got to, you know, you look at the Panthers team on the field, but you also got to think about all the support staff behind the scenes that go to make this brilliant team. This is not just the 13 players on the field. It's the trainers, it's the coaches, it's the support staff, it's everybody, right? It's
pharmacists and the
sorry, pharmacists. Anyway. It is such a well-oiled club. Respect to the Panthers. They totally deserved it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, they've got a really good culture in the Panthers, and they all sort of grew up together and all that sort of stuff and all that kind of stuff. So, look, we had the Jack Kehalf disallowed try. He basically went over and you know, it was off a kick, and then so the ball got back to him. He went down really low. There was about five, maybe six Panthers players there. Some people, you know, there was evidence of social media going around that the ball did touch the ground. You know, on first thoughts, when he actually saw it live, did he think it was a try or not?
No, T-Dog. Not at all.
Yeah, I've got to say.
Sorry to all those social media warriors, yeah. The keyboard warriors, it was never a try.
I like, this is the way I honestly felt. I did not see the ball ever touch the ground. So no. I did not see that. But I felt it was a try. Like, you know, just the way he got down and there was a little bit of a push, I felt, okay, somewhere along the line, he must have scored, right? That's what I felt. But then so when I went it up, I understood why the referee would give it no try, because like him, I did not see the ball go down. And then, to be honest, when they were showing the replays, and, you know, I'm not in the bunker. I don't have 25 screens that the bunker has. I've only got what Channel 9 give me. And from what Channel 9 gave me, I could not see a try at all. So I think it was a non-try. That's all I could say. Like, you know. Yeah, so people on social media. And look, it was a critical part of the game. But as I said, I actually felt that the Melbourne Storm lost hope just after the second half as well. So I don't know how much it mattered in the end anyway. I felt like it definitely would have turned things around a bit if they did get that. But I don't think it was close enough to be even close enough to be a try, if that makes sense.
I agree with you on that one. I feel like Jerome Hughes wasn't there where I think they needed him. I feel like the stars, like the X factor that I was talking about last week, being there, the main guys, Pappenhausen, Harry Grant was there. He was definitely there. Munster tried. Hughes, yeah. I think if Hughes had played, you know, an 8 out of 10, the game could have been different, right? But he was player rating of 6, which, you know, for his input, I think that was... deserve. I just think across the park, it wasn't a team effort. You're right. And they did look like they were pretty much done after they came out in the second half. They didn't have the belief that they could bring this back, even with only one try difference. So, yeah, unfortunately, I feel like wouldn't have wanted to be in... I would want to be in the player... The room after with Craig Bellamy, because I can imagine that would be the biggest spray that I've ever seen in my life. I don't know. Does Bellamy spray them after losing a grand final? Like, you know, see, after the finals finished, is Bellamy still giving it to the boys? But, or does he go, well, look, you know, you've done your best and thanks for trying, right? You know, so yeah, it'd be interesting to see what Bellamy actually said after the game to the guys.
Exactly. Now, I just want to get your final thoughts before we move on, right? So, in 2025, the Panthers, they're going to lose James Fisher-Harris. Yep. They're losing Jack Cleary, son of, you know, the forgotten son going to the Warriors. They're losing Isaiah Longhi, Atavaya Litsi, Jerome Luai going to the West Tigers, Francis Manuela going Newcastle Knights, Taylan May released, Tyron Peachy retired, and Sunia Taruva is going to the West Tigers. They do gain Isaiah Papali'i from the West Tigers, and they do gain Blaze Talangi from the Parramatta Eels. So, with the people that they're losing, plus the people that they are coming in, do the Panthers win again? Or how do we stop them?
God, I hope not. Far out. I was going to say... Blaze Talangi at the Eels was you know, he was all right. He wasn't an amazing player, but once he fits into this Panthers team, all of a sudden, you know, the culture there, he could be up there. Sorry, is Isaiah Yeo retiring?
No.
He's in another season.
He's got plenty of time. He's in his late 20s, right? So he's fine.
Like the biggest loss for me is definitely Luai. What's going to happen there with the number 6? That's the question. Who have they got to replace Luai?
They've got Brad Schneider.
Okay. Right.
To be honest,
I should laugh.
Awesome. No, no, anyway, it's fine.
I shouldn't laugh, but he's a he played. He got a grand final ring. I would say he's a great player. He's a great number seven for mine, probably more than a six, if that makes sense. I think I don't know if it's going to be as dominant as this year. I think they're definitely. It's going to be an opening for other teams. Losing Luai, the pair of Luai and Cleary is, you know, it's just something about those two. They just sort of play so well with each other. And, you know, Luai's got the way he steps and Cleary is just an all-round great player. Oh, it's going to be hard to replicate that this year with a young Brad Schneider to replace him, because, you know, Brad Schneider's still learning his way through the comp. He probably got lucky having such a good team around him. All he had to do was, you know, kick to the corners and pass it when he needed to. He didn't need to do too much. But all credit to Schneider. He's going to become a great player.
Yeah.
Love to have him back. Just a little yell out there to you, Schneider. We're Raiders. We're sorry. We realize what we did wrong. We want you back. Please have a chat to Ricky. They're definitely not going to be the team that we've seen this year. And exciting times for other teams that will benefit from these two departing. These players departing, especially one to note, the Tigers. So hopefully Luai will take a bit of his spirit and culture from the Panthers to the Tigers, and you could see a different Tigers outfit next year.
Yeah. I really think with the Panthers, I think the way to beat them tactically, and it's going to be really, really hard to do this, but you're going to have to do a lot of early kicks. You're going to have to do a lot of kicks behind their rushing attack defense, right? Because they rush up faster than anybody else. So the way to combat that is that you always make them unsure. Because if they're spreading up the line and you kick it down the other end, they've got to turn back around and they're not going to like that, right? So, but then you've got to be fit enough to be able to handle not having the ball that much a little bit. So you've got to have a good defense. So I think you need a lot to go right to beat the Panthers, and then you've got to have a get them on the off game and stuff like this. But you are right. You know, without Luai there, there's parts. See, Nathan Cleary doesn't have to be the playmaker for the full 90 minutes, right, when you got Luai. Luai can take some of that burden off him. So that's there. And then I think if you map out when the Storm were doing well against the Panthers, it was when James Fisher-Harris was on the bench, right? So I think that go forward. Now, they still have Moses Leota, which I think is equally as good, and they're going to have one of their other forwards step up and replace James Fisher-Harris. But I think it's big shoes to fill. So I think, again, it's going to be difficult. But, you know, Ivan Cleary, he's a bit of a master coach there. He's been able to do that. And, look, final thoughts now. Liam Martin, was he deserved of the Clive Churchill medal? Or was there any other player that you thought could have won it?
Oh, no. Definitely for mine, Liam Martin was the standout player. He absolutely... in the right place at the right time. He proves in big games, like in the Origin and other games, that he's a big game player. He's a special talent that doesn't come along that often. And I think more forwards should be respected in the game. And definitely Clive Churchill winner for sure.
Yeah. Well, look, I thought that, you had most fantasy points actually went to Nathan Cleary. So, again, a good performance. Mitch Kenny, most tackles. Most running men is Dylan Inwood. So, I thought they all had great games. And then also for Paul Alamotti had a great game. Probably the best game I've ever seen him play, really. But I think Liam Martin created his own luck, like just being in the right positions. He's kind of a bit of an attacking second role, but he's more of a workhorse enforcer type player. And the fact that he was scoring tries and setting up tries and doing all this kind of crazy stuff beyond what he does, I think was, you know, just deserved it. So there we go. So there we go. The NRL 2024 grand final done. Your winners, well done to the Penrith Panthers. And, yeah, four straight. Let's hope they don't yeah, I mean, we kind of want to see another team win, but, you know, but I don't want to see another team win because the Panthers play bad. I want to see a team come and just, you know, just do better. So, well, look, the next tackle, let's go into the Dally M Awards. So here we go with tackle number three, the Dally M Awards.
Is that
okay?
Is that the Dally M Awards music? Is it?
Yeah, that's pomp and circumstances. You know, famous American sort of you know, prom night sort of.
Isn't
award?
That English? Isn't that an English old Winston Churchill song?
It is. Look, and thanks you for the royalty police for never pulling us up on it. But here we go. The 2024 Dally M Awards. Congratulations to the women's winner, Olivia Koenig. And for the men's, it was actually Jerome Hughes who won it. Well done to Jerome Hughes and Olivia Koenig. So just very quickly going through the men's team. Fullback was Tedesco. Best wingers was Brian Toho and Zach Lomax. Best centers were Herbie Farnworth and Stephen Crichton. Best 5/8, Tom Dearden. Best halfback, Jerome Hughes, obviously winning the Dally M. Best dummy half, Harry Grant. Best props, Adam Faneuil-Blake and Joseph Tarpane. Best second rolls, Angus Crichton and Elise Katoa. Best lock, Isaiah Yeo and Craig Bellamy was the coach of the year. And on the women's side, you had best fullback, Abby Church. Wingers were Julia Robinson and Stacey Walker. Best centers were Isabella Kelly and Tiana Panatani. Best 5/8 was Zahara Tamara. Best halfback was Lauren Brown of a team of colours, I'm not sure. Best dummy half was Keely Davis. Best props was Millie Elliott and Shannon Mateo. Best second rollers was Olivia Koenig and Yasmin Clydesdale. Best lock was Siomana Tuffa. And NRL coach of the year was NRLW coach of the year was Scott Prince. So look, obviously Jerome Hughes winning it.
Scotty
there.
Scotty Prince.
Yeah, Scotty Prince, coach of the Brisbane Broncos.
Wow.
You know, so but yeah, look, Jerome Hughes, the haka, they did a haka for him. Deserved winner of the Dally M for this year, T-Dog?
Yeah, I mean, look, aside from the grand final performance, amazing player. You can't take anything away from Jerome Hughes. He totally deserves it. Look, you look at the Storm season, they had an amazing season. The amount of points they were scoring, especially in the late rounds, was insane. So, yeah, I'm totally in awe of Jerome Hughes. And every time he gets the ball, he has that ability to create something. And he does it with humility as well. So, totally deserved. Also, Craig Bellamy, coach. Dally M coach of the year, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's a deserved award. I mean, Craig Bellamy, he's an amazing coach. And to be honest, I'd love to see him coaching Origin again. I'd love to see him coaching the Australian Kangaroos team. He has had such an amazing career. He deserves all the respect from everybody. And I think he does, right? There's nobody out there who can't doubt that Craig Bellamy has built a team that shouldn't, by all rights, be one of the top teams every year, but they are. They are. Like they're from Melbourne, right? The player base in Melbourne is probably very limited compared to the rest of New South Wales or Queensland, but yeah, obviously most of the players are from New South Wales or Queensland. But in saying that, he's built a club. The fan base down there is massive. Look, yeah, you know. One other thing, Stephen Crichton, captain, Dally M captain of the year, what he's done with the Bulldogs, taking them, you know, into a top eight finals appearance, what he did with New South Wales in the State of Origin, let's not forget that. Yeah, And yeah, and obviously, yeah, all the other players as well. But yeah, Olivia Koenig, amazing season. So totally deserved winners. Is there anybody you thought could have been up there that didn't make it?
Yeah, well, look, I thought it's been definitely a number two season forgot his name here. James Tedesco. It's been a number two season. He came second at the Tally M's. He came second for fullback for New South Wales. He's now we're going to talk about the Kangaroos squad a little bit later, but you know, almost made it to the grand final, Teddy. But it's just been so close, but not so far away for the guy who you know, was a traitor to the West Tigers all those years ago. So
let's not forget big season from Zaki Lomax. Came to New South Wales aid when we needed a high flying winger.
Yeah,
even though he doesn't like to play in the wing.
Yeah,
he still got an award. Yeah, look, the other Harry Grant definitely deserves of best hooker. Who else is there? We got a Raiders player up there.
Tapanay,
yeah.
Yeah, so, who decided to join the other Melbourne Storm players and do the haka for Jerome Hughes. And I'm like, wait, Tapanay, he doesn't play for Melbourne Storm. So I found that to be quite interesting. But there you go.
A bit of a worry, right? They're getting ready for the Pacific Championships, I feel like.
They were a little early. Anyway.
It's a warning shot.
But look, a great night, you know, a rugby league's night of nights. So well done to all everybody involved. But look, it wasn't all happy, clappy in the world of the NRL. Some big news from the biggest club. And here we go with our next tackle, talking about the drama that is the Brisbane Broncos 90210. Okay.
Is that a 90210 music?
No, it is not. But yeah. Look, as we were recording the show last week, we had learnt that, club legend Kevin Walters, who was the coach of Broncos, was sacked. But tackle four, you know, just on the eve of the grand final last week, Michael Maguire is officially the new Brisbane coach after he was released from his duties as New South Wales State Origin side coach and confirmed on a 3-year deal with the Brisbane Broncos. So that was just 5 days after the sacking of Kevin Walters, and the Broncos have confirmed that Maguire is taking over immediately ahead of the 2025 preseason. Maguire did say that the Broncos are one of the rugby league's greatest clubs, and it will be an honour to step in the role as head coach. And then the Broncos organisation has very high expectations on everything it does. So, Tito, what are your thoughts about this development that's happening at the Broncos? What happened to the Broncos in 2024 that they needed to sack the coach, sack the club legend, you know, get anger all of their old boys? But ahead of that, Maguire, he's the origin coach for New South Wales. Who do we replace him with?
It's like a Hollywood movie.
Tee off here on the Broncos and Maguire. Later, Armando Maguire is a Canberrian. I know that's he's from the ACT. So FYI. Anyway, your thoughts?
Look, you can't doubt him. He's got a good career. He's taken the New Zealand national team to first in the world rankings, as well as leading New South Wales to an Origin series victory earlier this year. But him as a Brisbane coach, is it a coach problem or is it a player's problem, right, that led to their dismal performance this year? I think there was a few injuries, obviously losing Walsh for a few games. I mean, it's a bit of controversy there because the whole bad blood between Walsh with Maguire. I mean, Yeah, I think it was Maguire replying that I'm sure we'll have a laugh about that one. Okay, I don't know if Reece Walsh should be laughing about his bruised eye socket, but yeah, interesting. I don't know.
Selwyn Cobber, remember there was like Selwyn Cobber origin controversy somewhere?
Yep. Who's going to replace him in New South Wales now? Look, I always felt like Maguire was looking for a new job back in first grade rugby league. This is great for him to get us into that New South Wales win. But, mate, it's got to be Bellamy. It's got to be Bellamy, right? I know he's had a go at it before, but, you know, second time around, there's nobody else who could, that I can think of, who could take Madge Maguire's spot. Yeah, but it's going to be interesting because such a different team. The Broncos are not the team they were 2 years ago. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Maguire and the Broncos this year, the 90210 Broncos.
Yeah. Well, look, I heard this story where after the 2020 grand final where, you know, Penrith, like, lost. Two days after the grand final, James Fisher-Harris, went into the Penrith sheds and started working out, getting ready for the 2021 season.
Wow.
Right. Do you know what I mean? And then the rest of the team followed them in and they just started training straight away, right? Because
they
were going to work themselves out of the feeling of being complete losers, right? Okay. What I feel that Brisbane Broncos did after losing the grand final last year is book their flights to Bali. Right. So I feel like they kind of thought that getting to into grand finals and playing State of Origin and being superstars is just going to come easy now, right? And what they didn't realize is that now they've become not the hunter but the hunted, and teams were preparing better. Because I know they were up against the Broncos, and they just couldn't handle the step up in the ferocity that the other teams are going to come and try and get them. You know what I mean? And I think that this was that learning curve season, so they needed a bit of a shake up. I don't know if I think Kevin Walters knew that, so I don't know if it was a bit hard. But Maguire, he is like a premiership winner, right? And he turned New South Wales around, he turned New Zealand around. So I think he's got the goods. So. I don't know. Long-term solution.
I just think it's hilarious that the guy that Queensland probably hates the most this year.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Right. Him and Swali. 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 Is now coaching the premier Queensland team. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how the fans react to this.
Look, all due respect to Aaron Spelling and the writers of 90210, like, could you write a better script than what is at the Broncos at the moment, right? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, this is great stuff. This is Godfather-esque script writing here. You know what I mean?
If it's 90210, the first training session where Maguire comes out, he's talking to the team, reasonably sitting there going, I hate this guy, but then he'll look over, see Madge Maguire's fingers painted black, and he'll be like, oh, my God, he's awesome. He's a legend. All right?
That's right.
Anyway, no, sorry, no offense to anybody who wants to paint their fingernails black. That's fine. Totally open to that. That's good. I'm going to do it now just to prove it to everybody. So, yeah. But, yeah, look, it's that's huge. It's huge news. It's kind of weird. It's like... a general from the enemy coming over to lead your army into battle. It's just going to be interesting to see what happens. So,
yeah. Well, look, all the best to Michael Maguire. And look, the Broncos, they definitely have a squad that can challenge the best teams. They just didn't have a good season this year, but hopefully Maguire's there to turn it around, and maybe this could be a potential contender to dethrone the Panthers, but we'll find out. Look, we're got one more. Let's go into tackle five, because the Pacific Championships are around their own corner. And the Kangaroos have named their squad, and there are some big inclusions as well as some big emissions from the Pacific Championships. So here you go, tackle number 5, the Australian Pacific Championship squad. It's the Pacific Championships, baby! Okay.
Oh, yeah. All right. Like getting a guitar and heading down to the beach.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Well, the Pacific Championships are here, and, you know, it's, everybody cares about it more than anything else. But look, sorry, that's the wrong tackle. But look, the Australian Kangaroos have named their squad. Before we go into that squad, I just want to – look, we're not going to go for the women's team, but Olivia Koenig, who was the Dali Air medal winner, who did play in the grand final, she got left out of the squad for the Gillaroos, which I think is absolutely amazing how that happened. And what? The coach said that it's because she wasn't a starter for New South Wales, but she in fact was. So I don't know what he's talking about, but any thoughts on Olivia Koenig before we go into the men's squad there, our T-Dog, of missing out?
It's a bloody outrage, it is. I can't believe it, mate. It just doesn't make sense. There's got to be more to this story than we're seeing, because how could she be the Dally M winner and not be in the squad? It's crazy.
Yep.
It
boggles your mind. But look, but that's not the only big controversy. The Kangaroo squad with a few notable changes. So here we go. Here's the squad. Isaiah Yeo is the captain for the Penrith Panthers. He's the new captain. The new vice captain is also Harry Grant for the Melbourne Storm. On debut, Mitch Barnett is in the squad. Matt Burton is in the squad from the Bulldogs. On debut, Bradman Best is in the squad from Newcastle Knights. Pat Carrigan is also in from the Brisbane Broncos. On debut, Xavier Coates is in for the Melbourne Storm. Lindsay Collins for the Sydney Roosters. Reuben Cotter from the Cowboys. Angus Crichton from the Roosters. On debut, Tom Dearden, North Queensland Cowboys. Dylan Edwards from the Panthers. Ben Hunt from St. George Illawarra, Zach Lomax from St. George Illawarra, Liam Martin from the Penrith Panthers, Mitchell Moses from the Parramatta Eels, Cameron Murray from the South Sydney Rabbitohs, Reece Robson from the North Queensland Cowboys on debut, Lindsay Smith on debut as well from the Penrith Panthers, Hamiso Tabawai Fudo from the Dolphins, and Tom Tribble from Manly Sea Eagles. So what this squad means is they've axed Sydney City Roosters fullback and current incumbent national captain, James Tedesco. So he's been axed. Also dropped are both 2024 State of Origin captains. Jake Trbojevic and Daly Cherry Evans are both missing from this, and it could be an end to both of their playing careers, you know, for Australia. Tedesco and both captains are out, which means Isaiah Yeo takes over as new Kangaroos captain, and Harry Grant has been named as vice captain. So, T-Dog, what are your thoughts on this squad, and what are your thoughts on what Big Mal Meninga has been drinking lately?
Don't know what it is, but give me some. Okay.
He was listening to our theme music when he was writing the squad, then, wasn't he?
That's right. Look, so Mitch Moses is in the team, right?
Yep, hasn't played for since Origin, but yeah, throw him in. 6 months of not doing it.
Throw him in and then have Ben Hunt as a reserve just in case, because he can play any position. But I don't know. I look at this team and I say it's. Don't get me wrong, it's a great team, and it probably can beat any other team out there. I think what I'm seeing from this team is that he is looking at a changing of the guard in terms of Cherry Evans and, you know, Tedesco and the likes of those players not being in the top team. I can imagine they're not feeling too good about it. I feel for them. But if I look at this team, there is something about it that is making sense. He is choosing thoroughbreds. You know, apart from Mitchell Moses and Ben Hunt, they're definitely probably ponies rather than thoroughbreds, but they're still, you know, in comparison to the other players, this team is going to, you know, be up for the fight in terms of fitness and so forth. Yeah, look, Yeah, there's a few players there that I didn't really think were going to be in this team. Time will tell. I mean, I'm more excited about the Tongan team, to be honest. I think the look of the Tongan team is going to put it to the Kangaroos this year. Definitely with what we're seeing from Mal Meninga's choice, this is going to be a very competitive game.
Yeah. Well, I've got an article here from the Parramatta Eels website. Monday, the 22nd of July, 2024. Mitchell Moses has undergone surgery for a bicep rupture. The halfback suffered during the series winning performance for New South Wales and State of Origin. Moses will miss the rest of the season and commence rehabilitation with the aim of returning to training in 2025. Preseason.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, miracle healing. I don't know what's happened. He's back. So that was yeah. So he wasn't expected to return until after the season had finished anyway. So that's kind of crazy how he's got in there. Because I thought they would have given DCE a run more. I get it. DCE won't play in the next. You don't think he'll play in the next. In the next World Cup, right? So maybe that's what Mal was thinking. Okay, so we need to get somebody in. But then you're going to have to be there anyway, so you need an understudy. So the understudy is probably Mitchell Moses, right? And look, you've got Tom Dearden as well, so I think Tom Dearden's there, Ben Hunt. They do have, I suppose, Origin-caliber halves that can play. It was just a bit of a surprise to see both him and Jake. I kind of understand Jake. Jake didn't really play that much Origin this year, despite being captain anyway, right?
came on for 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, came off after 20 minutes every game, right? So it was kind of a bit crazy. So I think that kind of makes sense. And look, I mean, the rest of the players, I really can't do much. Oh, look, maybe Cleary's ruled himself out, which is why he's not there. That's probably one thing. They do need to probably think about a 5/8. Maybe Tom Dearden is a long-term hope of that. I did notice that we didn't have Cameron Munster as well. So maybe they're just trying to blood a few new players to give themselves a few more options in future years. I think that's probably what the strategy is a little bit. I think Tedesco, I did have a bit of fun of him. I actually really like him as a player. When he was at the Tigers and also when he's been at the Roosters, he's been a great player and he's been a great captain. And it is unfortunate that he hasn't been able to make the squad. I do get it. You couldn't really hold Dylan Edwards back any further. So I do get the changing of guard, but it's kind of, I would have liked to, let's think about like Darren Lockyer. He was a bit of a great fullback and then he moved into the 5/8 position. I mean, we could have found Teddy a spot, I feel, in the centres or something like that. I get it. You got guys like Bradman Best and others, also they could play there as well. But I thought let's give him a spot somewhere. But look, not to be. But who knows? Maybe there's injuries and he could come in the squad. But it's unfortunate to see him not in the sign up. But New Zealand are going to have some injuries as well. I think the Tongans. I saw a glimpse of what the Tongans have, and their forwards. I don't know how you're going to beat their forwards. Their forwards look massive, right? So, So
it's the biggest pack I've ever seen in rugby league. Oh my god!
Yeah. And what they do have is Isaiah Katoa is actually a great halfback. He's probably one of the top 10 halfbacks in the NRL, right? So the fact that they've got a good playmaker as well, and they've got some strike with Todd Aikola. With a Hopewadi kid in there, as well as a, they've got some strike out wide. I mean, Alamotti's in there. So you've got Alamotti, Todd Aikola, with Isaiah Katoa playing off the back of the forwards. So you've got try-scoring ability with the Tongans. And New Zealand, Jerome Hughes is going to be in the squad. Nickel Klugstad. You've got some really good players in that squad as well. So it would be interesting to see how they will all go as well. So I think it's going to be a great tournament. And maybe with all these exclusions from the Pacific team for the Kangaroos might mean that it brings the competition to a more hotly contested sort of matches.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, any final thoughts before we wrap it up with the tips?
No, I'm looking forward to this championship. I think it's going to be a very competitive championship. So, yeah, mainly because of the teams that have been chosen. That's all my thoughts.
Okay, great. Well, let's move on to the tips. Okay, so look, no tips for this week. We're just going to wrap up the tips for the finals series with myself and T-Dog. So previously, I had a total of 5 correct picks out of 8 final series games. And then this week with the 3 grand finals, I've got 1 out of 3 correct, which takes me to 6 out of 11. T-Dog also had 5 out of 8 coming into this week. And unfortunately, he also picked the stall. So he also has 1 out of 3. And we both finish up at 6 out of 11 for the final series. So do not bet your house on any of our tips, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I've got to say about that. But, you know, T-Dog, you know, you've been the fill-in for Dr. T. This actually could be, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it is, may not be. Who knows, but it could be your last show. So I thought I'll give you the floor a little bit just to say any parting thoughts. But it's been great to have you on the show. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for all your prep. And thank you for talking rugby league, the greatest game of all, with me. But any words from yourself there, T-Dog?
Look, it was an interesting 3 or 4 weeks that we had. I definitely have learned a lot, especially about my audio. That's one thing that I will work on in the future. Look, I hope that you guys will have me back for a Canberra Raiders round, maybe a Raiders versus Tigers round or something during next season. But, yeah, look, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on the show, just have a few laughs, talk about rugby league, greatest game of all. And, spend time with one of the greatest guys I've ever known, Tish Sharma.
That's how my surname. Anyway, it's fine.
Delete that. Okay. Thank you, Tish, for having me on the show.
Okay. No problem. And look, T-Dog did express interest that he might want to have his own podcast at one time. Not about rugby league competing against us directly, but if you do, then there you go.
Yes, I'll start my own one called Rugby League Republic 2. No, I'm joking. definitely interested to start my own thing down the track. Maybe it's more political. I don't know, a bit of everything, right? So yeah, if that does come up, I'd love to get a little bit of mineral marketing on your show.
I think it was you wanted to do a podcast on mineral deposits left over from World War II. In Eastern Europe or something like that, right? So, if there is a show, obviously we'll promote you. I don't think it's the last we've the Rugby League Republic has heard from you as well. I'm sure we'll have you back later on. But look, thank you for this time, and who knows? I might have got the dates wrong, and Dr. T might be another week away, and we'll be back next week, and we'll have to do this again. But that's all that we have. Look, the 2025 NRL season is officially concluded. Well done to the Penrith Panthers again. But that's all the time. We're still going to have some shows coming up towards the end of the year. We've got the Pacific Championships coming up. We've got the Rugby League Republic Awards coming up as well at the big end of the year show. But look, for the NRL season part of this this season, that's it for this episode. And don't forget to check us out on our socials. You can email us at rlrepublic.com. You can check out our website at rlrepublic.com. Facebook, we're on there. We're on there on Twitter at rlrepublic, Spotify, iTunes, wherever these things are, we're there. But that's all that we have for this edition of the Rugby League Republic. We're your hosts, Tish and T-Dog. Join us next time on the Rugby League Republic. Bye for now.